Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Division is an interesting thing. We have the division of property, the division of profits, the division of motor vehicles. We have long division, which makes you wonder what short division is, because I'm not sure. I've never heard anybody talk about short division, but they always talk about long division. We have all kinds of things that we use to kind of slice and parse things up. And quite often it is a good thing that we can use those sorts of things. But division can also be a not so good thing, especially when it involves communities. Now, I bring that up because today's gospel lesson, despite the insertion there at the end, I think is one of the most divisive lessons in the Christian community. Because it is that conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. It isn't so much "for God so loved the world." We all love the "for God so loved the world" part. It is that part about Nicodemus saying about being born again. And that's where the division happens. Think about it. Think about the different flavors of Christianity that exist out there and the groups that say you have to be born again. Otherwise, you're not really a Christian. And folks like us who go, "Well, okay, but I think I was born again when I was baptized, but I'm not really sure." Division. Division in communities is always bad. Division happened especially in World War II with Nazi Germany running through Eastern Europe, dividing out people that they thought were unworthy, especially people of the Jewish communities. They did so in what's now Belarus, which was then Poland. And one of the people they tried to get rid of was the Belski family. They successfully were able to kill the matriarch and the patriarch, but the four Belski brothers were able to go hide into the woods. It's a strange story. It's actually a neat story, but it's one that's in a movie now called Defiance. The Belski boys made it into the woods because that's where they spent a lot of their time. They weren't exactly the best citizens in the world, so when the police came looking, they went hiding. And so they knew the woods pretty well. And after they had established themselves there in the woods hiding from the Nazis, they began to draw other people out of the ghettos into the woods with them, and soon they had a community of about 1,200 people gathered together there. Not freedom fighters or anything like that. Most of the people, 70% they say, were either women, children, or the elderly. And so they had to develop within this new community kind of rules and regulations in terms of how everything would be provided for them. And they did so. Tuva, the oldest, was kind of the guy in charge. And so he laid everything out in terms of how this new community was going to function, who was going to do what, because everybody had to have a job. And one of the rules he laid out was there were to be no pregnancies, because he could not imagine how they would be able to provide for an infant in the situation that they were in. What he didn't know was one of the women who came in from the ghetto had been raped by a Nazi soldier. And so she hid her pregnancy throughout the winter, which was pretty easy considering the number of coats they had to wear to stay warm. But once spring came, it was time for her to give birth. And despite their best efforts to hide this, it was soon discovered. And nobody knew what was going to happen. But it was that birth that changed Tuva and his mind. And Tuva soon came to recognize that their community was one in which they needed to embrace this new life, to embrace this change. because their community was not about division, but rather about unity. That birth changed things for the entire community. Birth is funny that way. Those of you who have had a child introduced into your world, whether it was yours or relatives or somebody else's, know that birth changes everything. I'm going to be reminded of that next week. And so you want to talk to people about, well, how does birth change things? Well, it changes things in a variety of different ways, but the fact is that none of us really know. We can say having another child can change things, but birth, well, that's something we're not really that aware of. Now, you can give birth, but how many of you remember being born? How many of you remember being birthed? See, that's the key. We don't. And the other thing to understand is you didn't have a doggone thing to do with it, did you? You had not a say in the matter whatsoever. You had no influence, no input, nothing to say. You couldn't control it even if you wanted to. You didn't know the world you were coming into. You didn't know how you were going to be born. Nothing. It was all brand new until you showed up on the scene. And you had no control of that either. You see, birth is a gift from God. Plain and simple. It isn't anything we control. It isn't anything that we do. It is a gift that comes from God because it is the essence of our very lives. And our lives are truly gifts that God blesses us with. So when Jesus and Nicodemus have this conversation about being born and about birth, Nicodemus kind of misses the boat, I think. Jesus says you need to be born from above, of water, in spirit. Nicodemus says, well, how can you be born again? That's not what I read Jesus saying. It wasn't about being born again. It was about being born of God, of being born of water in the Spirit, a gift that God blesses us with. And for me, the bottom line of being born again really isn't in the fact that we're transformed into something that we weren't, because we've all been adopted as children of God through the waters of baptism. But for me, to be reborn has one very final thing. If you want to be reborn, I think you got to be dead. Otherwise, you're not reborn. You might be transformed, but not reborn. Because my understanding, and I hate going theological because there are smarter people in this room than me, but the whole idea of being born of water and the Spirit is really wrapped around that whole idea of being born from above, being born into God through the gift of life ever after through Jesus Christ. It is that phrase at the bottom, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Well, we all perish. It is the inevitability of the world in which we live in. But because of that gift of God's Son, because of that love of God, we have the ability, we have the gift of being born again. That is the promise that we stake our lives on. That death hasn't spoken the final word. And that day will come, our day of rebirth. It is not about being born again here in this place where if you look it up on Google, there are 14 steps. So it's harder to be reborn in faith than it is to be sober, apparently, because those are only 12 steps. And And I think that's where the misunderstanding that Nicodemus had with Jesus. Jesus' rebirth is from above, a gift solely from God bestowed upon us through the life, death, and resurrection, through that gift that God gave the world. Nicodemus was looking for something here and now. As adopted children of God, what we do here and now does make a difference. What we do here and now is an expression of our thanks for that gift to come. It is our expression of thanks for the gift we have now in the life that God has blessed us with. And it is our way of saying thanks for what is to come as we are reborn from above. Children of God who have been blessed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Children of God who have the opportunity to share our lives and our faith in so many different ways. Children of God who should really focus all we have on simply offering our thanks. Our thanks to God for the gift of life. Our thanks to God for this gift of rebirth. Our thanks to God for all the gracious gifts that have been placed within our lives. Offering our thanks through what we say and do. Understanding that it has nothing to do with us, but everything to do that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.